Well, hey friends, welcome to day two of my teaching this week, all on the, set my little alarm here, all on the subject of intercession. It's great to have you here. Hey, I'm going to get a little practical today and talk about how do we effectively pray prayers of intercession for other people. As always, three quick housekeeping things. If you're new to my YouTube channel, we have nearly 1.2 million subscribers. We'd love to have you join that group. Hit the subscribe button somewhere down there and check out the links below. Encourage everybody to sign up for our email and newsletter. And lastly, I want to say a big thanks to the friends and partners of our ministry who empower and enable us to do what we do, to travel, to send these videos to the far corners of the earth. We appreciate you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Boom. Links below if you're interested in more of those things. So I began yesterday talking about intercession and I sort of ended that teaching, excuse me, by saying, what is intercession? Well, simply put, intercession is praying for other people. Now, I think all of us at times have been guilty, it's a joke, have prayed for other people. I think probably all of us at times have seen answers to prayer when we prayed for other people. And yet I would conjecture that all of us at times have been challenged or disappointed by the lack of answers to prayer we've experienced concerning other people. And I think many people see prayer as the last resort. You know, when all else fails, pray. I don't know where I heard that, but I once saw that. I think it was on a TV series when somebody said, let's pray. And the other person said, oh my God, has it come to that? Have we really sunk so low? Is prayer all we've got left? You know, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. And when they're, you know, when there's nobody left to call, I guess we could pray as a very last resort. I mean, they say people pray in foxholes. You know, they pray when they're about to die. And I think prayer should be our first resort and not our last resort. And I believe God wants to bring us to the place, sounds a little counterintuitive, but maybe a place where we actually pray a little bit less, but we pray more effectively. Where we don't just, like a kid with a machine gun, do scattershot prayers like all over the place, like firing 10,000 bullets. And just hope that one hits the target. I think actually in prayer we should be more like a sniper, where we should fire, we should take the time to set up the shot. I think we should take the time to set up a prayer. There's been many times in my life where I've spent a week praying and fasting, but not praying that God would do something, rather praying that God would help me get my heart ready so that I can pray one prayer that lasts 10 seconds that actually changes something. Now, I needed the week, but I didn't need the week to talk God into doing something. Prayer doesn't change God. I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3 verse 6. Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, 8. So prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes us. So let's talk about some real practical things that will help you pray for others. Number one, I believe, again, I don't want to sound legalistic, thou shalt, but I think it should be normative, the normal part of a Christian life where we pray for others around us each and every day. Now, I don't want to have a big, like, rosary bead list I have to go, so gotta pray for this, gotta pray for that. But frankly, I want to pray for my family. And I'll be honest, I'm going to pray for my family more than I'm going to pray for your family. And I expect you to pray for your family more than you pray for my family. That's okay. My point is, don't let your prayers only be about yourself. I think we should pray for our family. I think we then pray for a wider circle, maybe friends, people we're interacting with, a church family, and a community. And then I think there's a place we should pray for the nations of the world. Pray for our nation, whatever nation you might be in, for kings, for rulers, for those in authority. And I would actually also say we should pray for Israel. We should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, it doesn't mean you agree with everything Israel politically does. I don't. But I don't agree with everything they do, but I agree that God chose them and there's something special about the Jewish people and that I have a debt to them to pray for them. Selah. So, praying for others, make it normal, make it natural. Again, is it good to have a specific time when you might, you know, sit down and pray through some things? Absolutely. No problem whatsoever. And yeah, I would actually say as you go through your day, today I took an Amtrak down to New York. Right now I'm sitting in Times Square. I'm about to go to Bryant Park, just around the corner here, because I'll probably get some more shade there. My point is, as you go through life, see who God leads you to. I don't have to pray for everybody here, but if the Lord draws my attention to somebody, pray for them. Okay. Let me give you three keys to help you pray prayers of intercession. Number one, learn to pray simple prayers. God is not impressed by complicated prayers. In fact, it's harder to pray a complicated, you know, high, complicated, weird, wacky, wonderful prayer. That's harder to do well without being religious than it is to pray something simple. When you pray in simplicity, you've got nowhere left to hide. When you pray in simplicity, there's nobody left to impress. When you pray in simplicity, you keep the ingredients simple. Yeah, there's something powerful about pure ingredients and not having, you know, an ingredients list with 38 ingredients at the back that nobody can pronounce. And at times it's like, I feel that a lot of the time people are committing the same sins of the Pharisees when they pray in a prayer meeting. And they're praying what I call horizontal prayers. They're really praying a monologue for the hearing of others. There are some people I know, and I can think of some of them right now, where when they pray, they're really using it as an open mic time to communicate things to others in the room. And they'll phrase it as if they're talking to God, but they're really just trying to vent or communicate to others in the room. And my point is, learn to pray simple, effective, fervent prayers. Learn to pray prayers that come from the heart. Okay. Key number two. I remember asking my mother-in-law this years ago, and so like, well, why should we pray for something when God already knows it? She said, yeah, God already knows it. Jesus said that your Father knows what you have need of. And yet, there's something powerful about you pouring your heart out for somebody else before the Lord. There's something like a connection you get with that person. In one sense, what Satan loves to do, and does it quite effectively, is to get us offended at other people. And it's like we want to come before the Lord and say, look what they did. Look what Cain did. Look what Abel did. Look what my brother did. Look what my sister did. And we point out the gap between where they are and where they should be. And we point out the lack, the gap, the manque in French, the missing element. And what God wants us to do is actually stand in the gap. Is not cover over the gap, but love covers a multitude of sins. I'll give an example. Do you remember the story in the book of Genesis when Noah comes out of the ark, and a few years later he plants a vineyard and makes some lovely French wine or Turkish wine, whatever it was, and one day Moses gets drunk, like rip-roaring drunk, and his sons come into his tent, and he's there just laying out naked in his tent. Now, I don't want to give you that visual, but imagine a 500-year-old man naked in a tent. It's not a good thing. But the point is, the two brothers came and they mocked and they pointed the finger and they laughed and they called their other brother to come and revel in the mocking of the father. Now, the father had sinned, I guess you could say, or what he did was shameful or not honoring or wasn't the fullness of what God wanted him to be. But his other brother came in. The other brother came in and pulled there was one brother went in. And the two brothers came in, but they walked in backwards so they were not looking at the shame of their father. And yet they pulled a sheet over their father and let him sleep it off. And in a way, in intercession, that's what we're doing. We can at a certain level go before the Lord and say, Lord, look what they did to me. But we can also come in and say, Lord, they're a sinner like I am. And I don't look at their sin. I look at the blood of Jesus. I cover their sin with your love. I cover their sin with your blood. Do you know, there's a really weird thing. I learned this years ago, and it's really effective, but people often mishear me when I say this. There's a way that you can pray and get somebody else's sins experientially forgiven, especially when you have a connection with them. Now imagine you're a parent and there's a child in your household who's rebellious, who's not walking with God. As the priest of that household, primarily the man, but the woman if the man's delinquent in his responsibilities, you can come before the Lord and say, Lord, like my child's far from you and you know, I know in a way they're worthy of judgment, but Lord, I want to repent on their behalf. I ask you to cleanse them of sin. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And now, listen to me carefully when I say this. They still need to repent of their sin. You're not going to bring them into an eternal relationship with God through your vicarious repentance. But what you can do is pull the cover of your relationship with God over them. And what will happen is you can close down the access point into their hearts and their lives through your prayer, through your repentance, through your application of the blood of Jesus. And at an experiential level, at least for a season, they can live not under the judgment and the guilt and the shame of that sin. At an experiential lived out vacu level, they will live under the grace of God. And it's the goodness of God or the grace of God that leads us to repentance. See that? Boom. Guys, I've gone on too long here today, but the main thing I want you to catch is pray for others. Don't be discouraged. Begin. Have a go. Learn to pray simple prayers and watch what happens as God answers those prayers. I've got to check out now, but I'll be back tomorrow with another teaching where I want to talk about praying in the Spirit and intercession in the Holy Spirit and how powerful that could be. Again, hit the subscribe button, drop me a comment, and check out the links below. I know that will bless you. Have a great day.